All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the RPG panel here at the Xbox event at GDC. I'm Jeff Keighley, a journalist in the video game business, write for Entertainment Weekly, and also host a show on Spike TV called Gamehead. And I'm really honored to have three guys that are at the top of their game, so to speak, and real storytellers. And I think one of the things we're going to explore today is what the nature of a role-playing game is. But all three of these guys, I think, are master storytellers in this medium. Now, let me give sort of quick introductions for each of them. We have, of course, Sakaguchi-san from Mistwalker, and his legacy includes Final Fantasy, Blue Dragon, and coming this holiday, Lost Odyssey. Thanks for joining us. From the United Kingdom, we've got someone from a different country here, every different panelist. We've got, of course, Peter Molyneux, who's working on Fable 2, which he was showing today, and a fantastic legacy of First Fable, Black and White, Populous, Magic Carpet, Theme Park, the list goes on and on. Peter, thanks for joining us. And finally, from my home country of Canada, got Dr. Ray Lazica from BioWare, who's working on Mass Effect, and of course a great legacy of games like Knights of the Old Republic and many other RPGs that most of you guys are familiar with. So I wanted to kick this off by asking a broad question to you, Mr. Sakaguchi, about RPGs and how they've changed over time. Because you've done RPGs for so many years, what's the difference between making an RPG today for a next-gen system like the Xbox 360 versus the first RPGs that you made? What's different about it?
Sorry, English is my second language, so I speak in Japanese and he translates. What is question? オールドタイプとね。いやもう全然3Dじゃないし昔は、映像も全然違うんでドット絵でとにかくシステムでイマジネーションをどれだけユーザーにこう喚起させるかが大事だったんだけど、今はとにかく映像が全てを語ってくれるんで。
So I'll translate for Sakaguchi-san. So the biggest evolution comes from an improvement in graphics, and the more powerful expressions become, the easier it is to create a game that users can sympathize with or relate to the storylines. And Sakaguchi-san himself is a strong advocate of telling the story in RPG, a game that can really the gamers can sympathize, relate to the characters and storyline. That's and at the high definition as well as 3D graphical engine can really allow him to explore into that.
Peter or Ray, do you have anything to add to that?
RPGs was certainly the first game I ever played, was Wizardry on the Apple. And I think I drove 150 miles because my disc got corrupted to get another disc. And I lost my first girlfriend to Wizardry. And, the funny thing is for me, yeah, the graphics have changed. They have, this was sort of wireframe, walking down the dungeon and there's a little bitmap that came up when you met a monster. And that has changed, and it's very significant. But the actual structure of RPGs haven't really changed that much. I think there's been some evolutions, but they're still recognizable back then and now. And I think there's some opportunities maybe for some changes there. I don't know who's going to do it, but there is definitely opportunities.
So one of the neat things I see, and we've played the same games, I'm a huge fan of the old school RPGs like Wizardry and Ultima and Bard's Tale and all those great games from the past as well. And you can certainly see that there were elements back then that are still elements in the role-playing games of today. But at the same time, the genre has evolved. And the neat thing for me is seeing other genres incorporate RPG elements increasingly. So it's almost like, what is an RPG? It's a blended definition now, because you've got action elements, you've got story and characters, you've got exploration, you've got customization, progression, but every game is doing that to some degree. So I would argue that the entire industry is moving towards incorporation of RPG elements. So almost everything has RPG components to it now, which is for us is very exciting in BioWare because we're passionate about making great stories and characters and fantastic RPGs.
Well, it's a good question to look at. You know, the idea of what is an RPG? Because I think we're, you know, some people would look at a game like Grand Theft Auto San Andreas or Crackdown and say, you know, they're much more sort of action games, but they certainly have a lot of RPG elements. And, you know, RPG, I think, in the past has been sort of seen as a niche audience with, you know, very hardcore stats and character development. Are all games going to, do you think, I mean, are going to include these RPG elements? And then, I mean, what becomes of the RPG genre? Because, I mean, you look at a game like, you know, Mass Effect or Fable, Lost Odyssey, I mean, they're very action-oriented now.
Someone else?
Who wants to start?
So for BioWare, just talking about the definition of a role-playing game, the definition is increasingly broad as we look for inspiration to great games like GTA and other games as well. And we merge in some of those elements into our games the same way they're merging elements of role-playing games into their games. So we define RPGs. This is actually a major project for BioWare. We've been spending a lot of time thinking about what is an RPG. And we've defined the concept of activity pillars. So first and foremost, our mission is to deliver the best story-driven games in the world. We're always striving for that. And, you know, of course, we got great peers here on the panel that we're looking to for inspiration as we do that. So story and character is one of the activity pillars we focus on. Exploration and being that sense of awe as you're uncovering new worlds, that's a big part of it. Addictive customization progression, so that you're expanding your character's abilities, you're getting new teammates to bring with you into the world, that's another part of it. And combat that really makes you feel something, makes you feel fear, or you know, when you're encountering certain enemies. Those are the four activity pillars that we focus on in our games. We link them together in activity chains so that you're being pulled along. You're just so eager to uncover a new area to explore that you have to get that new weapon that allows you to defeat the enemies that are blocking you from getting there. Once you get there, there's some new folks to talk to, and you get more story elements exposed, and you get more items to progress and customize your character. So we're defining it based on those activity pillars and the activity chains. And increasingly, again, we said it earlier, that a lot of games are building these components into their games now. So that's exciting for us to see the RPG definition broadening and encapsulating more and more mass consumer concepts. So we're reaching new consumers as well as our existing core RPG fans. And other genres are blending in RPG elements too.
You know, I agree with everything you said, absolutely, Ray, and you're completely 100% correct. It's also interesting that those are going across to other games. For me, it comes back to this one simple phrase, role-playing game. You are playing a role. And what I really want to experiment with, and I think is really exciting, is to say, right, what should it feel like to be a hero? To start off as nothing and to end up being a hero. That is a journey, an emotional journey you're going through. And that is my real focus. If, you know, really, that's the differential for me from role-playing a boxing game. If you're a boxer, what I want to do is make you feel like a hero. Make you feel like you're significant. And that, I think, is one evolution I'd like to try and nail in Fable 2. Most people have seen some of the stuff we've been talking about today. What I'm really talking about there is, you know, that emotional engagement that I wanted you all to buy into.
Sorry. システムとか映像とかいろいろその大事なものはいっぱいあるんですけど、僕はとにかくストーリーを語りたいし、そのいいキャラクターを作ってそこに感情移入してほしいし、なんていうんだろう、ファイナルファンタジーもそうなんですけど、最後に終わった時にこうなんかエネルギーをこう電源切った後もエネルギーをこうもらえる感じがあるんですよね。まあ長時間プレイするせいもあるんだろうけど、だからそれを一番大事に作り続けてるし、まあそれはだから逆に他のジャンルでも同じなんじゃないですか。ここ答えだって分かんないか。
So I feel that the system, while system and visual fidelity are important in not only in RPG but in any other games, what I'd like to do, what Sakaguchi-san is trying to accomplish, is to tell a great storyline. and the characters and the worldview that players can relate to. And that's what he tried to do in the Final Fantasy series, that you as a gamer can receive so much energy. Even you shut off your console, your system, you actually receive energy, and there's a sense of exhilaration, a sense of accomplishment, and that really is something that you get out of an RPG.
A simple question, but I think one that needs to be asked. We're talking a lot about, you know, more action elements in these RPGs. Is turn-based role-playing games, are they going to be an important part of the future of games, or is everything moving more towards real-time combat and real-time action?
いや、ターンベースね。そうですね。今だから、ブルードラゴンはターンベースで、ロスウェストはターンベースなんだけど、途中リアルタイム要素が入っていて、あと、サードプレジェクトでクライオンっていうのがあって、それは完全なリアルタイムバトルで、いくつか作ってるんですけど、だけど別に、うまく使って、それぞれいいところはあるんで、それぞれ長所を生かして、使えばいいな。とにかくその、なんていうの、その世界に入ってほしいんで、やっぱり丁寧に丁寧に作ることが大事で、コンセプトがいくらよくても丁寧に作らないとやっぱりダメなんで、って思ってやってます。
So Saksan's comment is that he thinks that it's crucial to create it, that we've created meticulously, so and with a great level of detail would be crucial in making this happen. And with respect to Blue Dragon, it's turn-based, but it has a lot of strategic elements in that are proposed in the battle sequence. And with respect to Lost Odyssey, it has real-time elements that actually Sakuza-san promises to make battle experiences very interesting. And he's currently working on Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey. And in addition to these titles, there is an action RPG title called Cryon for Xbox 360. And over there, two more RPGs projects in progress, both of which are based on new different ideas. So instead of going to one single direction, he believes that there needs to be a variety of ways of playing and being fully immersed in the game.
So some of those games may feature real-time combat?
Yeah, Cryo.
Excellent.
Peter? I think there's space for both, you know. I mean, I really like the strategic thing that turn-based games can give. You know, that you can just sit back and you can just think, right, well, this is what I'm going to do. And I think that's like the problem with action games, is that these, you know, it's much more twitch and much more reaction-oriented. There's not time to pause. And I remember when we were first sitting down and considering doing a role-play game, we really thought hard about whether or not it should be turn-based or not. We came down on the side of action in the end because of the sense of being immersed. You know, you were there in the world and you weren't taken out of the world. But I hope that it carries on being great turn-based games because I think it gives you a different flavor than action can give you.
I agree with what you guys have said. I think there's many ways to tell a great story, and there's no right or wrong way to do that. And the key there, as Peter mentioned earlier, is conveying emotion. You want the players to feel something. You can do that in an action-based game, you can do that in a turn-based game. At BioWare, with a game like Mass Effect, we're actually striving to combine both sides of the equation. We actually have layers of depth. So you can play it in real time. You can play it as more of an action experience, very, very mass consumer friendly, very accessible. But it's got the depth as well. You can use squad command to advance your team forward and deploy them on the battlefield, tell them what to do, tell them who to attack, and so on. And you can also go a layer beyond that and assign the specific orders while you're in pause mode, sort of a pseudo turn-based approach. So it's got the whole gamut. And it's difficult to do that because you have to actually combine a lot of different features and you're really appealing to different audiences who have different goals and different desires, different experiences. But it's worth it, because in the end, it comes back to making a great game for our fans. And because everyone's definition of an RPG is different, but the end result, you want to convey that emotion. You have to achieve that in different ways for different players, I think.
Larry just lost his podcast.
Next question for you is related to the idea of RPGs as linear versus open-ended. I think, you know, in the past, especially the Japanese RPGs have been, you know, assume the role of a character, take part in this world through a linear story. I think now we're seeing, you know, more and more RPGs that are allowing you to customize the character, and, you know, sometimes it's a certain character's story with their multiple branching paths. And, you know, even going forward, I think, do you see a day where players are going to be able to have even more customization over the character that they actually play in the role-playing game? Now, there are a lot of companies talking about, you know, creating their own avatars online, and EA has, you know, their Create a Player, their EA DNA system to create, you know, custom up player. Do you see that more happening, that you're going to be really able to customize the role that you play in these games, or is it really up to the designer to create a linear story and tell you what your character is in it?
ストーリーでキャラクターを作りたいなっていうのがプリンカスタマーしたいとか、そのリニアというよりそのゲロスとかあとはオープンエンドとかそういうのを今やるようになってるんですけど、今多くはリバイじゃないリニアじゃないことってますけど、強かったとかキャラクターをカスタマイズできるっていうのが増えてますけど、それに対してもっとそれは増えると思いますが、それともまあリニアというのが面白いですね。あ、増えるんじゃない？面白い。でも僕はそのやっぱり先に言ったけどやっぱりストーリーを本当に映画の世界もそうだけどいいストーリーっていっぱいあるし、これからも生まれると思うし、そこにゲームならではの感情移入はできるんで、それをやっぱやっていきたい。まあ僕のスタイルね。ただカスタマイズの方が増えるんじゃないかきっと。
Yeah, sure. There will be a lot more games that incorporate, you know, character customizations, because it's simply it's fun, and it's a lot more fun. It creates a lot of interactivity. To top it all, the focus is to tell a great story and reflect the worldview. So it's the same when making a movie. You create a storyline with the characters in place, and you want to be able to manipulate all of them and just feel fully immersed in the video game, just like a movie. So that's what it's sticking to. But overall, character customizations, sure, because it's fun. It allows more interactivity.
Customization. Well, there's two things here. One is customization, and I'm just going to put this because I've been thinking about this an awful lot. I'm not talking specifically about Fable 2, though obviously there's customization in Fable 2, very much so. It's customization and then evolution. What I mean by that is, first question I'm going to put to you all is, I'm kind of getting a bit bored with customizing just one character, and then that's it. And I'd certainly customizing a character just at the start, when you don't know what the story is, when you've got no context of what happens in the world, seems kind of old school to me. The second thing is, so what you customize, and if it's just one thing or if it's quite a few things, I'd like to build that customization into the game. I am just bored to death of those same old setup screens where you've got change the hair color, change the color of the eyes, morph the face, yeah, here we go again, let's get on with the game. I'd like to build that customization into gameplay. That's the first challenge. Then I don't want to stop there. I want to continue, just like in Fable, the morphing in Fable, I'd like to continue evolving that character through maybe some of the customization choices you make. And that becomes really interesting, because it's all about your engagement. If I can convince you this is your things that you've chosen, and whatever that is, I think I've got to be careful not being too specific. Your things that you've chosen, that means you're more emotionally engaged. So I think customization as an evolution is got some very interesting things. But we need to take a step further than we've gone at the moment.
So for me, it comes down to, I agree with what you said again. I think evolution is incredibly important. And part of that is I think for me it comes down to the choices you make in the game. You want to have choices that really empower the character and make them believe that they're getting to make meaningful choices that have a huge impact on how the game, how it unfolds. And that's not easy to do. Nonlinear narrative is one of the hardest forms of narrative to create. So at BioWare, we're blessed to have some great writers that are masters of that form of narrative. And you have to think of all the angles. You have to make a lot for choices at every point that cover every possible permutation of what you're trying to feel as a player. And then you have to have the consequences that reflect those choices, both in the short term and the long term. And that's part of that evolution, I think, of emotion, of investment by the player, is allowing to make choices that are reflected with consequences, even different endings, completely different endings. And we're definitely building those things into Mass Effect.
There's one thing I'd say about these multiple branching storylines. They're very interesting, they excite me, and I definitely don't do one of them. There's going to be branching in Fable. There's one slight snag, is that you've got to be very careful that people don't start believing they've taken the wrong choice. You know, if I talk to you and you said, "Oh, we Fable 2, God, have you seen that dragon? It's amazing." And I think, "Oh, God, I haven't seen the dragon. Oh, God, I made the wrong choice. I want to go back and start again." That's where we've got to be very, very careful. You've got to realize that it's incredibly important that you and I can sit down and talk about those moments in the game. And that's where branching can work against them. So it's very dear. I'm sure you're handling it, Ray, and it's a tough thing.
I would counter, you know, I think it's exciting if different players have different experiences in the game, and they each have their own heroic journey. So you could be a hero or an anti-hero, and maybe no two players would actually have exactly the same story arc. And that leads to replayability, it leads to total customization of your experience, and the emotional payoff you get as a player is much higher if it's truly your own unique story. Just like real life, right? No, you're not going to have exactly the same path as someone else. Why would you want to have exactly the same path, a linear path, as a player in a game? I love non-linearity, and we're aspiring to that. And we want to make every choice feel deeply, emotionally impactful.
It must be difficult, though, from a development perspective, to be able to create all these non-linear options, because that means it's already so hard to do these next-gen games, and then to create all this content that some players may never see in playing the game. I mean, how do you balance that sort of, the need for open-endedness with sort of the development realities of creating a next-gen game?
You know, frankly, it's damn hard.
Right.
Because you have to build a ton of content, and you have to allow for multiple paths and permutations and combinations through the game. And you have to then think about the emotional return the player's going to get from every choice they make. And you have to spend a lot of time bringing them all up to the same standard so that players feel that, there is no wrong choice. Mass Effect, your Commander Shepard is kind of like Jack Bauer in space. There's no right outcome in the short term, but you have a grand goal. You're saving billions of lives, and that's a price. You have to make sometimes expend things in the short term in order to achieve the greater good, and that's difficult. But we want players to feel that they're making choices with consequences.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, it's not that I don't want to do multiple branching, man. I love the idea. That's the whole point of it. It's easy to say that. It's the whole point of the good evil in Fable is that you experience that. The only problem is that for me, I'm insecure enough to believe that I'm always going to take the wrong path, and that worries me. It just worries me that I'm thinking, God, I'm going to have to start that bit again because I didn't get it this time, and that is just another thing to worry about.
Let's talk a little bit about multiplayer and online, which is something that is incredibly popular, especially on the Xbox platform with a lot of people with multiplayer. RPGs have always sort of battled with the idea of how do we include any type of multiplayer experience. Obviously, they're massively multiplayer games, but how do you see multiplayer fitting into the future of RPGs? Is it more going to come in through co-op play with members of a party being actual friends that you're playing with? We're seeing some, games experimenting with that, or is there another type of multiplayer that we'll see in these games?
Online game. 僕も好きなんで、FF のちゃんと正規の11作目をオンラインゲームして、今夜、あそこにいるシェーンと話すんで、ブルードラゴンかロスオデッセイのオンラインも出るといいなと。
So he's fond of multiplayer, and he's fond of online connectivity. This is where he sees a growth in the area, and the Final Fantasy XI that he embarked on, he saw the need and he went into and created that. That was an online game. So he's hoping that he could talk with Shane and see if he can create an online game that's going to stand from either BB or LO people.
Nice. We'll do the deal right here. Okay. Well, what's the pitch? What's the game?
Don't have to be cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Tell Shane.
Shane? Please, Shane. I want to make.
Whatever you want.
There you go. Green light.
Could I do one as well, Shane?
You want to.
Thank you. This is really exciting. I mean, you know, for the first time, really, consoles are really connected. Not just PCs. It's consoles. And they're really connected. And what you're finding is people are leaving their consoles connected all the time. You know, they're not just logging in and logging out. And that's a real opportunity here. I mean, if there's any genre that really is sympathetic to online and multiplayer, it's got to be RPG, surely. I mean, the idea that you, as an individual, uniquely can show off and to work with and to co-op with your friends and meet new people, I think that's super exciting. I'd love to talk about that in great, enormous detail, but I have been gagged by lots of people, and so I can't. But I think it's one. It's, you know, how is this RPG?
Why is it taking so long? Do you think for RPGs?
Because one is that home of RPGs is really, you know, the sort of real entertainment story based RPGs tends to be more on the consoles because of Final Fantasy and all of those, or all the legacy of Final Fantasy and all of those. And there's only recently they've really been connected. The other thing is there's a lot of stuff to work out. There's a lot of technology to work out. There's a lot of gameplay issues to work out. And it's scary, man. It really is scary. And, you know, you've got to ask yourself, you know, am I making RPG or an MMORPG? Or, you know, what is this? Is there a middle ground? Is there something new you mentioned about? And, I think that's, there's a lot of reasons why you haven't really seen the real evolution of what was going to happen. I mean, obviously, the Fantasy Star Online, I mean, really was, you know, was an interesting thing on Dreamcast, so it's, you know, it's been around for some time, this evolutional revolution that's coming.
So I find the concept of multiplayer storytelling incredibly exciting as well, and I haven't been gagged, so I'll try and add some comments on that. We're doing some exciting things down in our Austin studio, and we haven't revealed a lot of details yet, but I'll kind of maybe hint at some of the rough shape of what we're building. We're very excited where massively multiplayer games are going, because the story that develops between players, the social interaction, that's a different kind of story, and it's something you can't really achieve in a single-player game. So what if you fuse the concepts that great RPGs have built in terms of a great storyline, the emotional impact on players, and you put that into an MMO? That's what we're building at BioWare Austin. So we haven't revealed any details of that yet, but I'm incredibly excited about that. And I think in a way, the MMOs are actually, they're pushing the envelope, and they're doing some exciting things that you just can't do in single-player games. And single-player games are doing some things that you can't do in MMOs. So it's really, you know, I think there's a place for both of them. I think they're both very important. We've tried to do both in the past as well. You can't do pursue a middle ground in games like Neverwinter Nights, but you can make compromises in the way the stories are told. If you aren't really doing, you know, going all out and pursuing the full massively multiplayer experience, or going all out and telling an amazing single player storyline like what we have in Mass Effect, a non-linear narrative. But I think the social interactions between players allow you to tell stories of a different kind.
All right, well, you guys are journalists too, so I don't want to hog the floor. If anyone has any questions, you want to ask, I want to leave some time for that. So, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to ask is, well, a while back on the Super Nintendo, there was an RPG, Secret of Mana, where it was multiplayer, but the story was very linear. I'm wondering why something like that really hasn't been attempted in a sort of online multiplayer environment. Sort of people, like several people working together in a party, but a linear narrative. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Ray is just smiling. Great thoughts.
I think that's a great idea.
We haven't revealed any details yet, but really you're right, it hasn't been done before in a massive way. And I think if you can combine and fuse those concepts together, you're having a party that's joined, they're united by a common goal. And that's, they're not just randomly fighting monsters and grinding and all the other stuff you see in a lot of MMOs now, which, while fun and incredibly addictive, you know, customization, progression, exploration, combat, those are three of the pillars of the RPG. But where's the fourth one? Where's the story? That's something I think that's the missing ingredient.
And repeat the question for those of you who can't hear it. She was asking about Secret of Mana and the idea of a game that sort of has a rich narrative to it that people could play together as a party, but multiplayer. Right, answered that question. Any other questions? Yes, back there.
Do you think there is a place for reality-based role-playing, like serious reality, like human relationships type of thing?
Question is if you see a place for reality-based role-playing, human relationship, sort of, you're saying set in the real world, sort of present day?
Yeah, well, not necessarily present day, but I mean based on really playing a role all the way down to, you know, choosing your dinner set when you go out on a date or something like that. I mean, like, really, a relationship with actual people in an actual world more than a fantasy hero odyssey.
So I guess the question is, instead of these epic hero RPGs, is there opportunities for sort of more mundane RPGs where you're hanging out with your friends and just living life, I guess? Sure. Anyone want to take that?
I think one of the cool things about role-playing games, and Peter touched on this earlier, I think, it's aspirational fantasy, and you get to play a hero or an anti-hero. And you don't want to be mundane, you don't want to be regular, you want to be someone that's great or maybe an anti-hero. You know, you want to do something you can't do in real life. You can do that in different genres, different settings. It could be a couple hundred years in the future, like in Mass Effect, that's really cool. Or it could be in a fantasy setting, like Dragon Age, that's really cool as well. But either way, you want to be someone you can't be in real life, I think. Certainly, if you want to, you know, there's different ways to slice it. Maybe the other guys have an opinion on that. But for me, the exciting thing is to be able to do things I can't do in everyday.
Well, it's a very interesting question, because if I'm a... Let's just take Fable, for example. And so you're playing the role of a hero, and, you know, is chatting up girls mundane? Is having, I've got to be careful my choice of words here, is having relationships mundane? Well, it could be, because there's so many mundane things about it.
But Peter, you talked before about the idea of, you know, a game where you sort of, you know, could relive your life.
Famously I was interested in that. I was thinking about a game called Dimitri, and I still can't talk about this, but it's very hard to talk about it, but the whole idea, here's the idea is, could you be a hero in today's world, as you said? And here's the interesting thing, 24 heroes, Desperate Housewives, Lost. Let's go down that list. They're all set in today's world, aren't they? James Bond is in today's world. Now that interests me. That fascinates me. Because if we want to really be a hero, where's the starting point? Is the starting point you and I? We're not. You know, we're not in some tomb like we are in Fable. We're in this room. And maybe that is a starting point for a great story. And that is a starting point for a great role-playing game. Yeah, we could focus on the mundane. we could get you to experience up in washing up, or you know, level 3 of makeup. I mean, you could do that, but or we could concentrate on the dramatic. And what's fascinating here, I'll set this thing to you for now, and you know, maybe in the future you'll hear me talk a bit more in detail about this. What's fascinating about this is, if I could say to you, okay, you're in this situation, this room explodes, this bomb that goes off in the corner, what would you do? That's a fascinating thing, and that is a piece of gameplay, I think. So, to answer your question very directly, I think there will be. It's very, 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 very tough. Because when you start approaching the real world, you start noticing, hey, lights don't shine like that. And, you know, there should be a knife and a fork there. And, but, you know, it's all about the detail. And fantasy, especially fantasy, you can brush over that detail. You can say, hey, it's my world, we don't have knives and forks. So I think it's a very tough thing to do, but it's still, I find it very exciting.
まあ最近リアリティゲーのアルバイトがありますけど、そういったリアリティゲームをベースにしたRPGが、現代のゲームの普通の生活を表現したような、RPG、人間関係を。まあ結構10年前ぐらいからスタッフとはいろいろ話をしてて、 現実生活のRPGっていうかなんかゲームを作れないよ。例えば、スクエアのスタッフ、ちょっとグレーターティーンエイジャーになりそうな娘と仲良くなるのが目的みたいな。ドラマになるじゃない。そのために旅してもいいし、ただ難しいよね。なかなか。でもやっぱやりたいっていう話は昔から話してます。そんなの答えになる。そんなんで大丈夫。
So, in fact, he's been very interested in it, and in fact, he's been exploring the idea for 10 years. He's talked with the director at Square Enix since 10 years ago, talking about exploring some ideas. We thought of a game around a story of a boy who is trying to make up the relationship with a girlfriend. The story around the school and stuff like that. So it's something that he's definitely interested in and wants to explore, but it's pretty tough, honestly speaking.
Yeah. What makes it so
tough?
マーケティングは難しいだけで作るのはそんなじゃない。なんていうか、そのマーケティングは難しい。うん。っていう答えなんだ。そのゲームを作るっていうのは、まあ息子なんて難しくないけど親子に言うのは難しい。っていうのはあんまり言いたくないよね。ここでそうだよね。いやいつかはいる。タイミングはこれね。
We'll do it someday.
But
the right time hasn't arrived yet.
All right, well, I think we're unfortunately out of time to continue on with one more quick question.
Okay,
right.
Isn't that basically what Yu Suzuki tried with Shenmue and failed horribly at?
Question is, isn't that what Yu Suzuki tried with Shenmue and did not...
I guess he's asking about Shenmue.
Sakaguchi was describing, if that actually was a game like Shenmue, because it was based on reality. Yeah.
Shenmue. I don't think so.
All right, we'll do it there. Excellent. Thank all three of you for joining us today on the channel. I hope everybody has a great GDC. Thanks.